you. And if you pursue after things that life cannot fulfill, you will remain unhappy all your life. You might as well say, okay, give me a Whopper. What do you have to offer me? That's why they give you menus, so they can say, this is what we have. And life has a menu, and you have to select off of life's menus. This is what life can offer. If life can't offer it, you can't have it. But Jesus came that you might have life and you might have it more abundant. His menu is so much better and so much more vast than the world has to offer. He's already paid the price that you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Hallelujah. Whoo, hallelujah. Some things in life, yes, you can exchange and interchange and think, well, I'm going to do it this way this time. I'm going to change friends. I'm going to change this and change all you want, but it's you that needs to change. It's you that needs to change. The Bible says to compare yourselves among yourselves is not wise. Why? It brings unhappiness. When you begin to compare yourself, well, you know, there they are. They got them another new car, and I'm just trying to fix my old one. Be happy with the one you've got. Thank God I got a car. Oh, hallelujah. These boys growing up here, there's going to be a day they'll say, Daddy, I want some wheels. Mama, get me some wheels. I just need wheels. They don't care. It's a clunker. But then later on, I need better wheels. I need a better car. And that's what gets you unhappiness. But you have the right to pursue it. And sometimes we need to be careful of what we ask for, because some things we ask for we think will make us happy will not make you happy. Can you say amen? All right. There's nothing I can think of, the Bible says, to make a man or woman more happy than their children. But on the other hand, there's nothing make you more unhappy than your children. Okay. David said, lo, the children are an heritage of the Lord. Hey, it's from God, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of you. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He got a lot of arrows in his quiver. They shall not be ashamed, but speak with the enemies at the gate. What David is saying is there's nobody will fight for you like family. I'm telling you, nobody, don't put your confidence in church folks, because they'll leave you. Don't put them in church folks, because they'll leave you. If pastor gets sick 2 weeks, you might wait on me, but pastor gets sick 2 years, only my family will wait on me to get well. Church folks will say, well, you know, I'm really not getting what I need here. I don't know if he's going to recover or not. Church folks will leave you, but family. I'm talking about real family. They'll be there at the time you die. Hallelujah. He said the wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the sides of the house, the children like olive plants round about their table. And you'd better trust in God. And because I'm here to tell you, everybody will forsake you but God. I've even seen what they call church family forsake you too. Even the patriarchs of old, when they got ready to die, Brother Chris, I don't know how they'd get the word out. Jacob was fixing to die, and he had 12 sons called the 12 tribes of Israel. Somehow, they were scattered all over the place. Somehow, when Daddy was fixing to die, they all showed up. They all showed up. Get that? They all showed up right at the time he's ready to die. Hallelujah. The pursuit of happiness begins with wholesome choices in life. Most people I talk to today, when you hear their story as to why they are unhappy, it was the choices they made in life that delivered unhappiness to their front door. Solomon said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Why? Because good choices leads to happiness, and bad choices leads to unhappiness. Here's what David's son Solomon said in a proverb. I'll read it to you. Proverbs 30:7. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord in vain. What he is saying about these two things, number one, vanity is nothing more than a false appearance of happiness. That's what vanity is. It is a false appearance of happiness or excelling or the ability to make somebody think something about you that's not really there. It's empty expectations. He said, let me not set my heart on things that will disappear. Don't let me set my heart on things that go poof. He said, even a man's life is vanity. It's like a vapor that appears for a short time and poof, it's gone. Hallelujah. We need to set our affections on solid things, on durable things, and things that are eternal. Then he said, separate me from the words of liars and that have false pretenses, because all of a liar's words will come to desolation. Do you know that? Even all liars shall have their part in a lake of fire. But give me, he's saying, neither poverty and don't give me extreme riches. Let me find, hallelujah, a happy medium somewhere. Don't make me so rich that I would say, I don't need the Lord. I don't need God. Who is God anyway? But don't make me so poor that I would covet and go after something that's not mine. Let me find a happy medium in life. Hallelujah. Happy mediums are based upon a balance of extremities. And I don't know why it is that sometimes some people have to find this edge. And then they have to go over here and they have to find this edge. When if they would be right here, I'm not worried about falling off of either edge. It's like Johnny, who kept falling out of bed every night. He was waking up and he would be on the floor. And he'd go to his mom and say, Mommy, I fell out of bed. She said, well, go get back into bed. Sleep. He'd fall out again. So she said, I better check and see why he keeps falling out of the bed. She went and looked, and he's sleeping on the edge of the bed. She woke him up and said, wake up. Get in the middle of the bed and you'll quit falling out of bed. I'm telling you, people that want to live on the edge of the church, they want to live on the edge. Pastor, can I do this? Pastor, can I do that? And then they've got these other people. I don't think the preacher needs to be doing that. I think he's not holy enough. Get off of it and live in the middle. Live in the middle. Hallelujah. My God. Can I continue preaching this morning? I'm wound up. Job found happiness in a very unusual way. Watch this. Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Can anybody say along with me, God has whipped me before? If he hasn't whipped you, let me tell you something. He doesn't love you. Or you're not being truthful. Because he chastises those he loves. And so Job finds his happiness in chastisement. Even David said that was good for me. I was afflicted. I used to go astray. Now I realize I'm happy that the Lord did that for me. I've got peace in my life like never before. For he maketh me sore. Anybody ever been sore at somebody else? Boy, I have. I'm still sore. I'm still sore. Hallelujah. Sore. And bindeth up. I like this. He maketh sore. He woundeth me. He woundeth me. And his hands make me whole. What a great God. I'm going to break the leg of the sheep that keeps going astray. But at the same time, I'll carry it till it's well. Hallelujah. He maketh sore, but he bindeth up. He woundeth, but he takes his hands to make it whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles. Watch this. Yea, in the seventh there shall no evil touch thee. He's going to bring you in the famine. He shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. Job had found that if he went through the six troubles, and if you'll just stay with God in the time of trouble, then he will perfect you. For Job said, he knoweth the way that I goeth. Hallelujah. And when I am tried, I shall come forth as pure gold. I shall be perfected. Now I can withstand what used to bother me. The things I used to get hurt about don't bother me anymore. But I had to go through, I had to let him wound me and bind me. I had to let him cut me and sew it back together. And now I understand that he loves me. My, my, my. Some people never seem to find the happy medium. They keep trying the extremes. And so many times people never find a happy medium until they lose it all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people never find. That's why I asked you before I started this sermon, how many of you that got filled with the Spirit went back and did some things you shouldn't do? And I'm telling you, it's unanimous. I saw all your hands in my mind. I saw them all. Because we all have, like sheep, have gone astray. Hallelujah. And you know you wasn't happy with that shepherd. You wasn't happy with that field. You wasn't happy with those fences. You wasn't happy with that containment. Now when you get out there on your own, you find there's no protection. And you go, better was it there than... And now you come back happy. Whereas before, I think there's a better way than this. You got all these ideas how it ought to be. But you got to realize somebody else has already set in your shoes that's trying to lead you. The shepherd that's trying to lead you has already been through what you've been through. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. So, Job lost it all. And he got it all back. But in the middle of the correction, he said, I'm happy. That's the key right there. So God will give it all to you back if you'll just be happy during the corrective phase. And you realize he really does love me. Jacob was a man that was subject to lying vanities. Jacob wanted to be happy. He was the trickster. He was the second son, the twin boy, if you will, of Rebekah and Isaac. He was Esau's brother. And it's interesting to me, it took me a while to understand why God allowed Jacob, who he said he loved. It's kind of hard to understand. He allowed him to wait until his brother come famishing, exhausted. He was so exhausted that he traded his birthright, his inheritance, for a bowl of beans. And Jacob took advantage of that weakness. And then in the end, when his father's getting ready to die, he takes advantage of him again and gets the double blessing. It was kind of confusing to me. Why would God let him buy with this? Well, he wasn't. He was letting him do it, but he wasn't letting him buy with it. There's a lot of times my parents let me do it, but they didn't let me buy with it. And for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can do it, but you can't get by it. And so finally, the Bible says that he had the double birthright, and he had the double blessing, and he had the birthright. And now he's a man that has it all. He's got all that life could offer, but he's running to keep it. He's looking over his shoulder, and mama's saying, you better flee to Laban's house. Your brother hates you. He's going to kill you. What good does it do to have it all if you got to run to keep it? But while he was running, watch this, my brothers and sisters. While he was running, he got exhausted like Esau. And he found him a place. God was waiting till he got exhausted, like he did to his brother. And now that you're exhausted, I want to talk to you. There will come a day you three boys will get exhausted. And this young lady, you will get exhausted. And you cannot fathom what exhaustion is like till life deals you some blows. And he got exhausted. And then the Lord said, I want to talk to you. Yes, Lord. And he had it all, but he lost it all. He said, if the Lord would give me just food and raiment and peace in my father's house so that I can go home, I'll feel like I got it all. And of the Lord, I'll give a tenth of my increase of everything. And the Lord multiplied Jacob even further. He got it all. I'm here to tell you, sometimes you got to lose it all to realize what God has done for you, and then he'll restore you. Hallelujah. Happy medium. Sometimes people have to lose it all so they will recognize God. King Nebuchadnezzar had it all. He had it all. He was a king. Mightiest king at that time on earth, Nebuchadnezzar. Can't spell it, but I can say it. Nebuchadnezzar. mighty, mighty, mighty king. But he had a man named Daniel that was mightier than him that was in his province, and three Hebrew sons, boys. They served the true and living God. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, by my might and by my strength have I established my kingdom. And the Lord heard that. And he said, oh. And he took this mighty man who had it all. He had it all. And he brought him down to this. Instead of sitting on a throne with his wand and all that, he was on the ground. Low moo, eating grass, and his nails grew like eagle's claws. He had it all. But he lost it all. Because he didn't recognize where he got it from. And the Bible says that I, Nebuchadnezzar, one day out in the field, he said, I looked up toward heaven and I said, you know, there is a God up there. Hallelujah. He said, my understanding and my reasoning came back to me and I realized it was God that gave me that throne. It was God that woke me up this morning. And when that came back to him, he got it all back. God restored him. He said, the Lord is God. If you serve any other God than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, of Daniel, then they need to be put in prison. He changed, but he had to lose it all so God could restore him to be happy with it all. Oh, my God, I'm fixing to close. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Do y'all remember that? You remember Humpty Dumpty? How come you don't remember Frank Sinatra? Humpty Dumpty's older than Frank Sinatra. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. What is an egg sitting on a wall for? I always saw him as an egg, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not, what a depressing story they used to read us, could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's what happens when you sit on the wall. The wall was given for your protection. It was not given for you to look out. It was given for the watcher of your soul to look out. And say, don't let them in this congregation. Don't let them in your life. You don't need to let that inside the gate of this city. Because if you sit on the wall, then you're tempted to fall on one side or the other. Don't live in extremes. The King of Glory, Jesus Christ himself, in our text, we find him, he had it all. He had it all. I mean, even God said, if I had need of anything, I would not tell thee. Omnipresent, omnipotent. He has it all. But he lost it all to humble himself to mankind. He took off his robe and put on flesh and came and dwelt among men. And he looked at us as we cried and we buried our babies and buried our parents. And he looked at the leprosy on them that were dying, and he didn't know what that was like. God doesn't know what death is like. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's from everlasting to everlasting, from glory to glory and from faith to faith. But then he saw man that was on time restrictions and he only has so many days allotted to him. And something moved inside of this man called Jesus, who was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man. So he humbled himself to have it all, to lose it all, so he could give it all back. And he got him a towel. Now on his bucket list was washing feet. I doubt that's on any of y'all's bucket list. That before I die, I've heard people say all the time, Brother Brian, before I die, I want to see Niagara Falls. Well, I don't have to go because Brother C.A. Doucette sent me a picture. I've already seen Niagara Falls. And they say all these things. One man told me before I die, I'd like to kill one more buck. Okay. I hope the Lord grants that to you. But before Jesus died, he said, I got some feet I need to wash. I got to humble myself because I'm the one that had it all. I'm the one that could just say the word and it's going to happen. I'm the one that could heal the leper. I'm the one that opened the blind eyes and I have it all. He said, all power in heaven and earth was given to me. I've got it all. But yet, even though he had it all, he took a towel and got him a basin of water and he sat down and said, pull off your sandals there. Pull your sandals off. Pull them off. I said, what you doing? What you doing? Said, just pull them off. Just pull them off. And he got down there and he said, put your feet in here. Peter, put your feet in here. No, Lord, no, wash me every week. He said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you won't be clean. He said, well, Lord, wash me from head to toe. A God that had it all stooped down to a servant's level. He said, you call me Lord and you call me Master, and rightfully I am those things. But since when is the servant greater than the Lord? And since when is the one that is sent greater than the one that sent him? I must decrease, John the Baptist said, that he might increase. And he was increasing that day in humility. If you want to increase, get humble. Humble yourself and he will exalt you in due time. And he stooped down there and he washed the dirt from between their toes. The God that had it all was showing us. And he said, now, if I be Lord and you call me and Master, could you not do this one? How about servant to servant? Brother to brother, sister to sister, can you not humble yourself to the level you are? If I would humble myself this far, can you not humble yourself among yourselves? Well, I ain't doing that for him. Oh my. And he shows us that he said, if you know these things, happy are ye. Take your shoes off. Let me wash you. Let me help you with that. Well, it's going to get you dirty. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's going to cost some money. That doesn't matter. How much do you need? I will tell you, I am so proud to be in the most giving church on the face of the earth. I don't say it much. We don't take up offerings here. That box stays full. I don't know. I don't even see anybody putting any money in it. And there's all the time people exchanging things here. It can be a cucumber or a $100 bill. And people come to me, hey, I got $1,000. I need to bless somebody. Do you know anybody? I don't want them to know who it is. I just want to bless somebody. I thank you for being a giving church. That shows humility. You don't want your name mentioned. You don't want anything in return. Now that you know these things, happy is the man that doeth them. As they come this morning. Hallelujah. Happy is the man that doeth these things. You've got to realize that if you want what somebody else has got, you've got to do what they did to get it. Elisha said to Elisha. Elisha said to Elisha, give me a double portion of what you've got. Well, who wouldn't want a double portion of anything somebody's got that's good? You got one car, give me two. You got $1,000, I'd like to have $2,000. And he said these words, you can't have it unless you see me when I'm taken. Now, pick up my bags, we're going across Jordan. Unless you're willing to carry my bags, you can't have my mantle. Unless you're willing to be obedient to me,